On a hill overlooking the twinkling lights of a city at night, spotlights illuminate chunky golden letters and numerals stacked on a raised plinth. 20th Century Fox, a News Corporation company. The shimmering letters F and A, Fox Atomic. A twisting spiral of DNA. Embedded at regular intervals in the spiral, the letters DNA glow orange. A match is struck. A woman's dark eyes shine as she lights a candle held by a scruffy man.
Are you going to cook?
Your favourite.
What again?
The man, Don, is in his 40s. He has short hair, is unshaven, and wears a jacket. He walks away from the long-haired woman, Alice, and throws paper into the fire of a solid-fuel arga. Alice takes a can of tomatoes from a cupboard.
Well, this is the last one.
What do you mean by tomatoes? Never enough tins of tomatoes, eh? Instead, you've got 5 tins of chickpeas. That should last at least 5 years, eh?
Alice turns to Don and takes something from him.
That's a glass of wine.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Don goes to a wine rack.
Hey. You're in luck.
He examines a wine bottle by candlelight.
Drinkable.
Alice stirs a pot of pasta with a wooden spoon. She glances to her left and her eyes linger on a framed photograph of an elderly couple with 2 children. Watching Alice, Don comes up to her.
You all right, sweetheart?
Hey, I'm fine.
Alice closes her eyes.
Well, I'm not fine. It's all fucked, man. Our children are safe, aren't they?
Totally, yeah.
Thank God we paid for that school trip. Can you imagine if we hadn't have done?
I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine at all. Listen, they're far, far away. And they're safe and sound.
Standing facing her, Don strokes her cheek and leans towards her. They kiss fondly. The elderly woman who was photographed with the children comes into the dark kitchen.
Not interrupting, am I?
Alice and Don break apart.
No?
I found this in the cellar. I'd forgotten all about it. I thought we could have them after dinner.
Don nods at Sally, the older woman, who has a box of chocolates in her hand. A mid-30s bearded guy lying on a sofa scans a newspaper. The older man, who was also in the photograph, spins the propeller of a model plane and looks up as Sally and Alice bring food to a candlelit table.
It smells wonderful.
And is that a bottle of wine, Don?
Isn't it, Jeff?
Ah, thank you.
There's chocolate for after. Cup to save your good lady wife.
What have we here? I get blackberries, vanilla, notes of autumn.
Jeff noses, then sips the wine.
Karen?
Karen is in her late 20s with long blonde hair. She places the bowl of pasta in front of an empty chair.
He'll be hungry. He'll be hungry when he gets back. He'll want something to eat.
Here we go again.
Jacob, no.
Let me tell you something, sweetheart. It's been 5 days since your boyfriend ran out on us. If he's still breathing, which I doubt, it won't be the pasta he's interested in.
Jacob!
The bearded man.
It'd be your fucking neck!
Don't say that!
Out of order, Jacob.
Why? We all know it's true. The sooner she faces it, the better. There are no survivors. It's just us in here and them out there.
Everyone turns as they hear the knocking.
Sam!
Quiet!
It's a boy.
Wait. Don't know who's in there.
Don, it's a kid!
Don and Alice leave the others at the table. Sunlight floods in.
Get in.
Don, a crowbar in one hand, hauls the small blonde-haired boy into the house, then closes the door again. Alice hugs the boy to her. At the table, the boy eats with his grubby hands.
Where have you come from?
Sanford.
Sanford's upriver, a few miles.
How did you get here?
They were chasing me, screaming. I was scared. I ran. I tried other houses. They were empty. I came through the woods.
Karen pulls a cloth wedged between planks boarding up a window.
Who were chasing you?
My mum, my dad. They're trying to kill me. There's others too.
How many?
Loads, Sam.
Someone outside the window breaks through and grabs Karen. The creature bites her arm. Jacob pulls her free. The eyes of the now-infected Karen are blood-red. She straddles Jacob, who's on the floor. Don clubs her with the crowbar. She slumps down.
Get out of here! You're going to escape, Michael!
As the others flee, Don wields the crowbar. More of the infected break into the house. The boy runs upstairs, chased by Alice.
Come back!
They run along a dark landing. The others are in a barn.
Come on, Jacob!
No, no,
keep going!
Sally,
there's no time!
Sally, come on! For
God's sake, go!
Jacob climbs up to a loft. In the kitchen, Don drops the crowbar.
Oh, no!
Alice looks under a bed. Don runs upstairs as the infected storm the barn door, which Jeff leans against from inside. They break through and fall upon Jeff.
Give me a hand!
Sally reaches up her hand to Jacob in the loft, but she's tugged back by the infected. Jacob slams down the trapdoor. Jeff is rabid.
Alice!
As Jacob makes his escape from the barn loft, Don charges around the house. Alice runs for the boy. A blood-spewing man bursts into the room.
Don! Help us!
Retreats behind a door.
Don!
The infected invader batters the door to get at Don, as more infected bear down on Alice and the boy, who bolt themselves in another room. Don rips down a blind, opens a window, clambers onto a tiled porch roof, slithers down it and jumps onto the ground. He rolls over, then starts to race away from the house. Three infected set off in pursuit. Alice sees Don from a window. He turns but keeps running. The infected break into her room. She disappears from Don's sight as he sprints across a field, past an open gate and heads towards trees. Behind him, the number of his pursuers grows. Don's brow is wrinkled and his face taut and lined as he struggles to keep ahead of those chasing him. He glances to his left and sees more of the infected on the brow of a hill. They join in the chase. The rabid pursuers are gaining on Don as he reaches a jetty on a river previously obscured by bushes on the bank. He sees Jacob by a boat.
Jacob!
Jacob unties the boat. Don leaps aboard and Jacob kicks the boat away from the jetty. Don pulls the outboard motor cord as a bloody face emerges from the water. Leaping for the boat, Jacob slips and falls into the river.
Jacob!
Jacob swims to the boat and Don tries to pull him aboard. He's dragged out of Don's hands. The river turns blood red. And now Rabbit Jacob tries to climb on. Don kicks at him. Don leans back against the stern and lashes out with his feet as the boat goes round and round in circles. He finally kicks Jacob off and the boat runs free. Blood bubbles up from the propeller. The raging infected wade towards Don. Away from the jetty, the boat speeds across the water. Don turns back to see a peaceful and serene rural setting and gazes at the empty window where he last glimpsed Alice. His unshaven face is calmer now. The weight from the boat sends waves along the riverbank, and a breeze ruffles his mousy brown hair as he skims along under a brooding, cloudy sky. 15 days later, mainland Britain is quarantined. London is calm and silent. 28 days later, mainland Britain has been destroyed by the rage virus. 5 weeks later, the infected have died of starvation. The streets of London are without traffic. 11 weeks later, an American-led NATO force enters London. 18 weeks later, mainland Britain is declared free of infection. The London Eye and the Gherkin both stand empty. 24 weeks later, reconstruction begins. A plane flies over the barren city, leaving a vapor trail in the grey sky. 28 weeks later, a soldier on a flat roof holds a sniper rifle sprayed with camouflage paint in the air. He looks through its telescopic sight at the airplane.
Welcome to London.
From a helicopter.
Hey, Doe, you having fun down there?
You can kiss my ass.
This is the worst combat I ever saw. It's the fucking combat.
Yeah, I hear you.
Give me something to shoot.
Too easy. Northeastern Med Center. 20th floor, 3 windows in. Fat guy, jerking off in the toilet.
Oh, bug nuts. Him again. I saw him yesterday.
I don't see him. Where is Fester Fucknut?
Oh, your boyfriend?
Yeah, there he is. Sticking his head on the 20th floor.
Yeah, next to the fire exit, man.
Oh, shit.
I think he needs a jerk-off extender.
Hey, Doyle, you're the expert in hand-to-hand combat.
Man-to-man combat.
Shut up.
I think it might be your dad, Doyle.
You got me.
Above Doyle and the other sharpshooters on the roofs, the plane heads low over the River Thames towards London's city airport. It turns right and taxis towards a deserted terminal with no other plane on the ground. A Land Rover precedes it and another follows it. From inside the terminal building, a woman watches as passengers disembark from the front and rear exits.
Shit.
Colonel Phillips here. What is your current status?
Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning.
Colonel, I'm watching the new arrivals disembark.
Yes, Major.
It'll take all morning to process them.
Copy.
No one told me that we're now admitting children.
The Major, Scarlet, in fatigue trousers and an aquamarine t-shirt, strolls through the otherwise deserted terminal and stops when she sees the passengers up ahead. Among the disembarking passengers are Alice and Dawn's 2 children, daughter Tammy and son Andy. Holding hands, they stride along a covered walkway manned by armed troops, standing in line each about 10 paces apart. Drops fall into Andy's eye as Scarlet puts him through an eye test.
Green and brown.
Interesting iris variation. It's usually hereditary. Do one of your parents have the same?
My mother. She did.
Tammy watches as Scarlet turns to Andy.
How old are you, Andy?
12.
I think that makes you the youngest person in the entire country. Well, your blood pressure is A-OK, and you're negative on any serious diseases or afflictions. I think you're OK to come in. Welcome back to Britain.
A compilation computer image of Andy's 2 eyes show a single iris, half green, half brown. Clouds hang low over the Thames. helicopter flies over an army camp as the aircraft passengers make their way up an escalator to the airport Stockton Light Railway Station. From a walkway, Andy sees soldiers on the street below piling up stacks of yellow plastic refuse bags. The soldiers, wearing masks, throw the bags on the piles from which they're lifted manually onto a truck. Black smoke rises from a bonfire as larger black body bags are burned. A red train pulls out at the city airport station. A helicopter shadows it.
We are headed for the Green Zone, our area of security and reconstruction designated as District 1. District 1 is located on the Isle of Dogs. Although the Isle of Dogs is completely safe, the surrounding area of London is not. There are a large number of bodies still left to be cleared from the original outbreak of infection. Rats and wild dogs are prevalent, as is disease. New arrivals are reminded, for their own safety, it is absolutely forbidden to cross the river and leave the security zone. You will be joining 15,000 civilians who are already resident in District 1. As we approach your new home, you will notice a dramatically increased military presence. The U.S. Army is responsible for your safety. We will do everything we can do to make your repatriation as easy as possible. Inside District 1, however, we believe you'll be pleasantly surprised. We have hot and cold running water, 24-hour electricity, a medical center, a supermarket, and even a pub.
Most passengers smile. One bearded guy remains somber.
We're nearly home.
Andy, whose hair is quite long, looks out of the window and grins. The watching helicopter's view of a traffic-free London with Canary Wharf close by. Doyle's on his roof, arms across his chest, the sniper's rifle resting on them. He sees the train arrive below. As the DLR train comes into the station, Don is on the platform.
Dad!
Don waits with a few other civilians and a large number of US troops for the doors of the train to open. Excited, Tammy and Andy get off the train and hurry along the platform towards Don, who walks towards them. Tammy turns to Andy.
Excited. Yeah, I'm excited.
A delighted Don hugs his children to him.
Oh, I missed you so much. You all right? You all right? Mwah. Never thought I'd see you again, you know that?
He puts his arms around them and they walk away from the platform. A CCTV camera follows their progress. In a large food court, tables are set out and people help themselves from serving tables. Scarlett has a meal, then meets Don and his kids. Later, she talks with other officers.
I am the chief medical officer. I should have been notified before children were brought in. We've not even established the protocol for minors. We have issues of disease and sanitation, not to mention we don't fully understand the virus yet.
We understand that it did not manage to go cross species.
Yes.
That it did not manage to go airborne, and that the last infected human died 6 months ago.
We weren't here 6 months ago.
Major.
General Stone steps forward and leans across the table to talk to Scarlett.
What are you afraid of?
What if it comes back?
It won't come back.
What if it does?
If it comes back, we kill it. It's code red.
A makeshift shrine to the dead is set out on the pavement outside a DLR station. Don, Tammy, and Andy walk past it.
Come on, please. Well, but this place then, Andy.
Eh? Yeah, it's pretty good, Dad.
They walk amongst the skyscrapers of Canary Wharf. Civilians queue for security checks by U.S. troops. A soldier at a desk talks to a man. Don and his children approach the security checkpoint.
It's 25 floors. You get a penthouse or something.
Huh?
Leave me.
I do, sir. Thank you.
So what do you do here, Dad?
What do I do? I'm the section officer. I keep the lights on, the water running, the heat running. See this, look? This is AAA. Access all areas. That's me. I basically run the place, you know?
No, you're the caretaker, really, aren't you?
Don presses an emergency stop button.
No, I run the place.
He swipes his card, deactivating the alarm. And he runs to the window in the penthouse.
Wow!
Like it?
It's amazing!
What, even better than sunny Spain?
You ought to have seen the refugee camps there. There are 20 of us in each tent and chemical toilets.
Oh.
Everything smelled of piss.
Nice. We'll be moving to a new house. Soon. A couple of months, in fact.
A new house?
Yeah.
Don looks a bit awkward.
Listen, I hope you guys understand, we're not going to be able to go back to our old house. It's outside the security zone, and anyway, I don't think I'd want to go back there, even if I could.
What happened, Dad? To Mum?
Don looks down and nods.
Yeah.
He looks over at Tammy.
Yeah. Do you want to sit down and I'll tell you all about it?
The kids sit down and Don takes off a utility belt. He sits down opposite them and throws his security pass on the coffee table between them.
Your mum and I were hiding in a house. It was a big cottage. It's an old couple that owned it. And they were there too. Three other people. And we were,
He shakes his head.
Just trying to stay alive, I suppose. We were doing okay for a while. And then we were attacked. He came in through the kitchen window. Got really fast, you know. Chased us. Chased your mum. And we were trapped. Trapped in the bedroom.
He struggles with his emotions.
I seen them. Biting. I couldn't do anything.
Tears well in Tammy's eyes. Don looks out of the window.
I tried to go back.
Alice bangs on the farmhouse window.
She was already gone.
A tear rolls down Tammy's cheek. Andy stares at the floor.
She was already gone.
Was there nothing you could do?
No, there was nothing I could do.
A flashback of Dawn running towards the river.
I managed to get away. She's running. Running, running.
He stares into the distance as he remembers.
I got to this military camp. And you know the rest, you know, I've been in quarantine waiting for you guys to come back.
He puts his hand to his mouth. His wedding band is still on his finger.
We're just happy you're still alive.
Don looks over at Tammy and his emotions get the better of him. He breaks down and holds his face in his hand.
I'm sorry.
A flashback of a stern-looking Alice staring. By night, Canary Wharf is an oasis of twinkling lights in an otherwise blacked-out London. A military helicopter is parked on a rooftop. Its bored pilot puts on a headset and turns the radio on. He plants a kiss on a photo of his wife and child above a child's drawing of a chopper with the inscription, "For Dad." As the pilot relaxes, he doesn't notice someone approaching the helicopter.
Oh,
Oh, you bastard.
Well, I've never seen you get so white. Come on. Good morning.
Yeah, fuck out of here, man. I'm having all good dreams.
Yeah?
Sunday afternoon, clear blue skies. I'm laying in bed with my wife, and now I'm back in this shithole.
I know, man.
Yeah.
I had that same dream about your wife.
Fuck with me.
Get on out of here, cowboy.
Yeah, all right. Next time I'm gonna shoot you, though.
All right, see you later, family man.
Doyle heads off. Flynn relaxes.
I told you I'm gonna shoot you.
Doyle patrols a rooftop, armed with his sniper rifle. He stops and stares across at a tower block opposite, which is all lit up. Doyle sits down and extends the legs of the bipod on the front of his gun. He adjusts the telescopic sight and waves to another sniper on a lower rooftop, who waves back. Doyle indicates his gun sight. The other sniper shoulders his weapon.
It's on the TV tonight.
He uses the telescopic sight to look in through the windows of the building opposite. In one room, a man's doing press-ups. Framed in another window, two men are talking. Focusing on another room, Doyle sees a man reading a book. On the floor above, he spots a couple having sex. He moves his sight onto another window and sees Dawn putting Tammy and Andy to bed. Tammy gets into bed as Andy bounces around on top of his. Dawn gives Tammy a kiss, then settles Andy down. Watching, Doyle smiles. He shifts his aim point to another window and sees Scarlett sitting at a desk. She looks around glumly. Don kisses Andy goodnight and switches off the light. A battered Alice looks up. She has a cut on her forehead and a split lip. She rips the skin off her face with her nails. Lying in bed, Andy opens the clouds one of his eyes. He wakes up and looks over at Tammy, who's watching him.
Okay. No dream?
Andy moves over to his sister for comfort.
I get worried I'm going to forget what she looks like. You won't forget. I don't even have a picture of her. You won't forget.
She puts a reassuring hand on him.
You promise?
Tammy gives him a hug. The sun rises over London and Canary Wharf.
Andy, we agreed. You heard what they said. It's only dogs and rats out there. We'll go home, we'll get all we want and come back again.
We should have told Dad.
It's fine. Trust me. They won't even know we're gone.
Tammy and Andy climb over a railing and creep along the outer edge of a footbridge. Keeping low behind the railing, they pass two GIs on the bridge, undetected. A river patrol boat passes by underneath them. As they get to the far end of the bridge, Doyle spots them from his rooftop vantage point through his rifle scope.
Where are you going?
He radios in.
Ace,
come in.
Go.
We have two strays that just slipped out the north gate.
Stray dogs?
No, puppies.
Tammy and Andy run delightedly through the deserted streets. They pass rubbish piled into biohazard sacks. They round a corner and find pizza delivery scooters.
That's what we need.
They go over to them.
Yeah, if it had keys. Wait here.
Leaving Andy by the scooters, Tammy goes over to the pizza parlour and peers through the glass door. A sign says open. She steps inside and covers her mouth with her hand against the smell. Several unfinished meals lie on the tables inside. A sign on the wall says, "Our pizzas are never delivered late." Outside, Andy investigates an insulated pizza delivery pouch lying on the ground and finds it still has a pizza in it. Covering her face with her hand, Tammy walks into the kitchen and sees a body lying on the floor. Outside, Andy looks around the chaotic street. An overturned car lies nearby. In the kitchen, Tammy approaches the corpse and reaches into its pocket for its keys. As she pulls them out, some juicy big cockroaches come with them. She grabs up the keys and a crash helmet, then runs out of the kitchen. She steps out of the restaurant and rejoins Andy.
Let's go.
They pass a grubby swan and some litter as they ride onto Tower Bridge. Tammy drives and Andy rides pillion. He looks up at the Gothic towers of the bridge as they ride along the carriageway. The moped is the only thing moving in the city. They ride on past the glass gherkin building and then pick their way through a crash scene with multiple abandoned vehicles littering the carriageway. They ride on through the deserted city past non-functioning traffic lights. The moped rides across a landing on a block of flats. Tammy looks serene as she pilots the moped through a graveyard, past row upon row of headstones. Now moving through leafy suburbs, the moped takes a left turn down a residential street and finally pulls up outside an unremarkable Victorian semi-detached house. Tammy smiles, and Andy takes his crash helmet off. Tammy lifts a loose paving slab and retrieves a door key. At Canary Wharf, Don walks into Tammy and Andy's room and finds they've gone. Tammy unlocks the front door of their house, and she and Andy step inside. The place seems in good order, and they walk through into the kitchen. Tammy takes a photograph of Alice with Andy off the fridge and hands it to him.
There you go.
Andy studies the picture. In it, he and Alice are outside somewhere and both are laughing as though enjoying a joke. Upstairs, Tammy is in her room and loads some of her stuff into a rucksack. She opens a cupboard which has a poster of a shark's gaping mouth on the inside. In his room, Andy opens a box containing Christmas cards and other memorabilia. Tammy zips up her rucksack and steps out of her room. Andy takes a pair of shoes out of the box he opened and, now wearing them, bounces on a trampoline in the garden.
Sam! Sam!
Getting no response, he goes back inside. He climbs the stairs. Someone closes a door up ahead of him.
Tammy, are you there?
He walks over to the door and pushes it open.
Tammy.
The blinds are closed and the room is dimly lit. Andy looks over at a table which is littered with bits and pieces. He picks up a bowl which is full of maggots. He looks at the far wall and sees numerous white crosses have been chalked on it. As he walks over to a dressing table, he catches a glimpse of someone keeping low behind the bed.
Tammy, this is stupid. You're not being funny.
Andy backs away as the person moves, the face concealed in the shadows. Gradually, the person moves forward into the light, and Andy sees it's his mother, Alice. She has a scar on her left cheek. He smiles as she crawls towards him.
I knew it.
He goes to her, and they hug. A wind has got up outside, and it blows the shrubs around by the front door. Andy looks up at a framed photo hanging on a wall. Alice digs her fingers into Andy as she hugs him.
You're hurting me!
She won't release him. Outside, the wind is coming from the downdraft created by the rotors of a chopper. Soldiers in chemical biological protection suits approach the front door, guns at the ready. Andy breaks away from Alice and dashes down the stairs. Tammy hears Alice screaming and goes to investigate. As the children run outside, they're confronted by the soldiers. Flynn loops down from the helicopter overhead.
Child, I got your puppy.
He takes his sunglasses off. Andy looks up at the chopper. In the house, a soldier slowly makes his way up the stairs. In the bedroom, Alice sits on the floor. The sun sets over London. Now naked, Alice is in the decontamination unit at Kennedy Wharf. A soldier in a protective suit forcibly scrubs her down under a shower. Wearing a surgeon's mask, Scarlett approaches Alice in an examination room. Alice now wears a surgical gown and is strapped to a gurney.
I apologize for these precautions. It's standard protocol when dealing with any survivors. Though we haven't had to do it for a while. The last survivor we came across was over 2 months ago.
An armed guard stands watch.
Can you tell me anything about how you managed to keep alive while you were gone so long?
Sporting several cuts and bruises, Alice stares into the distance.
Do you know of any other survivors?
Alice fixes her with a steely stare. Scarlett prepares a tourniquet.
Just going to take a blood sample. It won't hurt.
As she rolls up Alice's sleeve, she finds what looks like a bite mark. General Stone is watching from an observation room. Alice's left eye is bloodshot.
Have you come into direct contact with the infected?
In a flashback, a terrified Alice runs up a hill and then runs on through woods. Scarlett swabs Alice's arm and then sticks a hypodermic needle in a vein to draw off blood. Alice winces as the needle goes in.
I want to see my children.
Scarlett nods compassionately. She draws a file of blood. Alice stares at her as she works. Andy lies on a bunk looking at the picture of him and Alice together. Tammy sits at a table nearby, staring into the distance. An army officer talks to Dawn.
Mr. Harris.
Yeah.
We found your kids.
Oh, thank God, thank God, thank you so much.
We found your wife, too.
Dawn stares at the officer. They walk to the decontamination center. They go into an observation room, looking into the room where Andy and Tammy are being held. The officer turns the intercom on.
Can you hear me?
The officer nods.
So what do you two think you're playing on?
You said you saw her die.
What?
You said you saw her die!
Tammy walks up to the glass.
I didn't say that.
You did. You said you saw her die. You did.
Baby, I didn't use those words. But this is... I don't know. I mean, it's confusing, you know? It's very hard for you to imagine, you know? It's too hard to explain.
Try to explain it, Dad. Try!
Try what you want me to say. I thought I saw Mum die. I wouldn't have told you that. I was sure. Look, guys, I'm not sure what's happening here. But it's good. Okay? That's the point. Mum's alive.
I want to see her!
Dawn stares at his children through the glass partition, then takes a faltering step back. A few cars move around the Kennedy Wharf area. In the decontamination unit, Alice lies alone, still strapped to the gurney. Her breathing becomes more laboured. Dawn walks through an underground car park. Alice looks around restlessly. Dawn uses his swipe card to open a door. In her lab, Scarlett examines a blood sample with a microscope. General Stone paces behind her as she works.
There's no question, sir. She has the virus. She's infected.
Why is she showing any symptoms?
I don't know.
Speculate.
Vaughn uses his pass card to open another security door.
A genetic abnormality which acts as some sort of natural immunity. But the virus is still in her blood and saliva, so technically she's not immune. She's a carrier.
Are you saying she has the ability to infect others?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Don looks in on Alice from the observation room.
If this woman has natural immunity, she is incredibly valuable. Her blood could contain the key to a vaccine, even a cure.
Don opens the door to Alice's room and steps inside. He walks tentatively towards her.
Alice.
She very slowly turns to look at him. He smiles uncertainly. She stares blankly up at him.
I shouldn't have run away. I was scared.
He looks emotional.
Please forgive me.
Scarlet.
Please, sir. We need some time to study her. We need to run some tests.
Run tests on her corpse, Major.
The General sweeps out of Scarlet's lab. Alice stares up at Don.
I love you, Don.
A smile slowly creeps across Don's face. His eyes fill with tears.
Oh God, I love you too.
He touches her lips with his finger. He's reflected in her bloodshot eye as he leans forward and kisses her lovingly on the mouth. Don winces, then pulls away from Alice. He vomits and starts to convulse. Alice watches helpless as he spits out drool and blood weeps from his eyes. As the rage virus fully takes a grip of him, he bangs his head against the walls and rolls on the floor. Strapped to the gurney, Alice watches fearfully as Don becomes ever more frantic, banging his head against the window and covering it with blood. A flashback of Alice trapped in the house. Don looks at her and seems to recognize her. He runs towards her and grabs her hair, then starts to punch her repeatedly. She coughs up blood. He grabs hold of her and sinks his teeth into her throat, tearing out a chunk of flesh. Don grips Alice's head in his hands and forces his thumbs into her eyeballs. Her feet flail, but the straps hold her fast on the gurney. Her eyeballs burst, and blood floods over her face. Don pounds mercilessly at her with his fists. In confused, erratic motion, Don leaves the room and murders a soldier he encounters. A second soldier comes to investigate, and Don attacks and kills him too. General Stone, who's in his 40s, black and sporting a moustache, follows Don's trail of destruction back to Alice's room. He looks in and sees her bloody corpse on the gurney.
Clear channels to control room.
Control room, this is General Stone. All forces under my control, prepare to execute code red on my command.
Affirmative.
Affirmative.
Break, 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 all stations. Sunray in 30 seconds.
We have an outbreak of the infection in the medical center. All units, safety's off.
Affirmative.
Affirmative.
Open air gap transmission.
Prepare designated containment areas.
Affirmative.
Move civilians to containment areas.
All command personnel is secure in bunker. Confirm order to lock down.
Lockdown confirmed.
Execute code red.
Flynn flies over Kennedy Wharf in his chopper. Doyle radios through to him.
Flynn, come in.
Flynn, did you hear that code red or am I losing my shit?
about to ask you the same thing.
Stone goes to his command center. Did it hurt? His staff all stand to attention. Stone surveys a large bank of monitors in front of him. On them, he watches the lights of Kennedy Wharf go out. In the decontamination unit, the lights begin to flicker. In the room, Andy and Tammy look up, puzzled. The officer who brought Dawn peers at the window and switches on the intercom.
Everything's fine. Don't worry. I'll be back in a moment.
The officer heads off.
It's probably nothing. Damn, it didn't sound like nothing. He said he'll be back in a moment.
Dawn attacks the officer in the corridor. Andy and Tammy stand in the flickering light looking at the doors beyond the window of the room. Suddenly the doors are knocked off the hinges as the officer bounds back in. His blood splatters against the glass as he throws himself at it. Suddenly he seems to explode and a giant splat of blood and falls to the floor. Scarlet appears behind him, pistol in hand. She opens the door to Andy and Tammy's room.
You okay? Let's go.
The three of them run down the corridor.
Come on.
They pass a dead soldier.
Move, move, move! Let's go, let's go!
Andy, keep hold of my hand.
Okay, come on, keep it going, keep it moving. Come on, people, come on now! No push!
Sir, all civilians into the containment area!
No, these kids are with me.
Sir,
it's incredibly important that they are kept protected. I need to get them out of here immediately.
On, sir, no exceptions. It's a code red.
I know what it is. These kids are with me. My name is... Andy! Scarlet!
Andy!
The picture is tinged red as Andy is separated from Scarlet and Tammy in the crush of civilians trying to reach the containment area.
Move down the room! Keep moving! Go!
Can we get the drill?
Of course it's not a fucking drill.
Andy scrambles onto a car's bonnet in an underground car park as the doors are closed.
Hey, why are you standing up inside here?
For your own protection!
But just guard the door! You don't need to lock it!
We've got to find out. It's okay. We'll find him.
Scarlet and Tammy run down the corridor together. The terrified civilians bang on the car park doors. Andy makes his way through the distressed throng to an uncrowded area of the car park where he sits down, leaning his back against a wall. The lights continue to go off around Canary Wharf.
Shut down civilian areas.
Sector 1, lockdown.
Sector 8, lockdown.
Sector 3, lockdown.
The lights go out in the car park, leaving just the emergency lights on. They do go out. People who have torches or lighters use them to illuminate the gloom.
Switch to emergency lighting. Use of non-lethal force authorized. All snipers in position.
Roger that.
Ground forces to Med Center. Ground force to Med Center.
Doyle is on a rooftop. Soldiers run up a street below. The car park is dimly and drunkenly lit by swaying torches. A man's torch beam picks out Andy as he sits waiting. Hearing a hammering on another set of doors nearby, Andy goes to investigate. The man with the torch gets up and starts to follow him. Andy sees gore-soaked Dawn through the window in the door. Dawn hammers berserkly on the doors and they burst open. He stands in the doorway, dripping blood and drool, his eyes now bright red. Andy flees as Dawn lunges forward and grabs the man with a torch. He claws at the man's face and his drool falls over his features. Andy retreats into the crowd.
My God! He's in here!
As Dawn moves on to attack other people in the garage, his first victim, now filled with the rage virus, springs to his feet and attacks as well. As they scratch, claw and bite, they spew blood, mucus and other biological material. The infection spreads rapidly amongst the concentrated throng of humanity in the car park, turning it into a hellish pit of suffering, illuminated by flickering torchlight. As the people scramble to get away, Andy is lifted onto their shoulders. And Andy manages to scramble to relative safety in an air conditioning duct overhead. The crowd surges forward beneath him, and the chains holding the car park doors give way. The terrified crowd surge out of the doors, the infected hot on their heels. In the corridors outside and in the car park, the contagion spreads like wildfire. Andy cowers in the air conditioning duct. Standing with US troops, Scarlett takes Tammy's hand. They start to run as the troops take up positions and prepare to shoot. The mayhem continues in the car park beneath Andy, and he covers his ears. The people below him continue attacking each other as the virus spreads. Andy starts to crawl along the air conditioning duct. As the civilians pour out from the car park, the troops prepare to pick off the infected.
I confirm only target infected. Roger that, only target infected.
A man's gunned down. Scarlett and Tammy run on ahead of the fleeing civilians. Doyle picks them up in his rifle scope.
Targeting right, I got two down.
People rush down a staircase.
Watch out for the friendlies, watch out for the friendlies.
Go on blue now.
I can't get a shot.
An infected is shot.
Oh man, this is foobar.
Doyle adjusts his sight.
We got a group there at 12 o'clock, we got a group at 12 o'clock.
I got one at 3 o'clock on the ground, got four. On the ground, got four.
Doyle kills several infecteds.
Down.
The crowd runs chaotically.
I got two by the Jeep.
Doyle whacks a couple more of the infected.
Jesus, I don't see who's a target.
The crowd surges past below Doyle's vantage point.
On the move, on the move, on the move! Moving right, moving right!
I can't find a designated target.
In the control room...
Whiskey 3, why have you stopped firing? Come in, Whiskey 3.
Abandon selective targeting. Shoot everything. Targets are now free. We've lost control.
The troops open fire on the crowd.
All units, this is Medical Commanding Officer Sierra Lima.
Scarlett waits for a response.
Please be on the lookout for a young boy, age 12, name Andy.
Tammy waits beside her.
If he is located, he must be immediately evacuated from the containment zone. We have to find Andy. We have to find him! It's okay. We're gonna find him. We're gonna find him. I promise. I'm gonna get him out of here. I'm gonna get you both out of here. Trust me.
Scarlett hugs Tammy tightly. Andy opens a hatch in the aircon duct outside and clambers out. He looks around and sees a sniper up above picking off people in the crowd. As Andy climbs down off the duct, Doyle spots him through his rifle scope.
You shot.
Abandoned selective targeting. All targets are now free.
Confirm order?
Rooftop units target everyone at ground level. No exceptions. Repeat, no exceptions.
Doyle wrestles with his conscience. Andy is amongst the panicking people as Doyle draws a bead on his next target.
Come on!
He guns a woman down, then takes down a man. Immediately he's at the ground, Doyle puts a slug through a second man. The other rooftop snipers carry out their grim task. Anguished, Doyle looks up from his gun.
Three down! One of ours down there! 3 o'clock!
A man's cut down by a bullet. Another has his left arm blown clean off by a high-velocity round. A soldier is hit in the head.
Take him down, take him down.
Left section, 3 o'clock.
A frightened and confused-looking Andy stands in the midst of the panic-stricken throng. A man calls people to cover. Doyle puts a bullet through one of the infected as he runs at Andy. Andy is splashed with the man's blood. Doyle tracks Andy with his gun sight as he runs to cover.
Look, take him out! Take him out!
I got 2 punches on me! Doyle! I got 2 punches on me!
Doyle sees a sniper being attacked.
Fuck!
He accidentally shoots the sniper. He hangs his head. Down below, the troops blast the civilians with a heavy machine gun. Doyle reloads.
Fuck!
He looks down at the courtyard below, which is now littered with corpses. He picks his rifle up and climbs down a ladder on the side of the building. Andy is in some sort of darkened storage depot littered with stacks of boxes. Other survivors are in there too. One of them barricades a window. Andy wanders between the stacks. The shadowy forms of people run between bits of cover. One of them passes just in front of Andy, making him jump. Andy walks on through the stacks. Survivors crouch between them, keeping low. Andy starts when he sees a bearded man looking at him. He rounds a corner and finds Tammy and Scarlett sitting between crates.
Tam?
Tammy looks up and sees him. She jumps to her feet and goes over and hugs him. Scarlett gets up and walks over to the reunited siblings. A man making the barricade puts a last piece in place and walks over to a middle-aged woman.
This is madness. What's happening?
They're shooting everybody.
Why? It makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense.
They look at Scarlett.
It's code red.
The middle-aged woman frowns. Tammy and Andy sit staring at each other. Andy leans over to Tammy.
I saw Dad.
Where?
He's one of them. Step one, kill the infected. Step two, containment. If containment fails, step three, extermination. Now they won't stop until everyone is dead.
Tammy begins to weep.
So what do we do? I mean, I'm not sitting around here to get exterminated. We've got to get out of here. If we take one step out of that door, if the infected don't get us, the snipers will.
Well, you don't have a choice, my friend.
Doyle.
Right now, it's dark out there. Snipers can see you through their night scopes, but at least you have some limited cover from the infected. But, you know, if you want to wait till sunup, well, you're as good as dead.
Who are you?
Sergeant Doyle, Delta, rooftop unit.
Why aren't you at your post?
Doyle glances down.
Why aren't you? Look, you guys do what you want, but, I'm gonna get the fuck out of here. You coming?
Doyle kicks open a door, and gun at the ready emerges somewhere dark.
Hey, come on.
He leads the survivors out of the depot.
Less shooters.
They stop.
All right, listen. I need you guys to look at me and only me, okay? You run when I run, be my shadow. That's it, right? Okay. You run back. Watch her. Ready? Let's go.
The survivors follow Doyle around a corner. He checks the way ahead through his rifle sight, then raises his arm. Andy watches as Doyle runs on ahead.
Doyle, come in.
Flynn's chopper hovers overhead. Doyle adjusts his earpiece.
Then go.
Doyle, where the fuck are you, man?
Andy and the others move up to join Doyle.
Ground level, District 1.
Call us frequency.
Copy that.
Doyle adjusts his radio.
What the fuck are you doing there? Listen to me, you got some serious shit coming.
We already got some serious shit.
No, I'm not fucking playing. This is worse. The air cab, they just got their orders. They're firebombing all of District 1.
That's fast.
Outbreak is totally out of control. They're taking no chances. So unless you are out of the target zone, you are getting cooked. You got me?
How long we got?
They're already on their way. You got 4 minutes, tops. But listen, I got some clear landing ground at Regent's Park. That's the pickup point. Got it?
Be back in touch.
It's all you fucking better be.
Flynn's chopper banks away.
All right, look, guys, we gotta run, okay? Just stay low and stay fast, okay? After me. Let's go.
They run down a darkened street, and a sniper picks one of them off. Scarlet can hit in the leg. They're now pinned down in an alcove. Doyle pokes a mirror around the corner to see what's happening, and it's immediately shot at by the sniper.
Multiple shots, one hit. He's panicked and no marksman.
Scarlet puts on a field dressing. Doyle braces himself for action. He turns to a survivor.
What's your name? Hey, Sam. Come on. Come on, I'll get close. You see that doorway? I need you to run as fast as you can in a zigzag like this, okay? And don't stop for anything. You got it?
You want me to be bait?
No, no. Look, he's going to take shots at you, all right? But he's going to miss. All right, he's going to expose his position. Means I get a shot at him, I won't miss.
You're out of your fucking mind. There's no way I'm going out there.
2 minutes. We're all going to die. You want that?
Andy breaks free from Tammy and runs into the open. The sniper opens fire. Bullets race sparks behind Andy's feet as he runs. Doyle gets a bead on the sniper through his thermal imaging scope and shoots him dead. When Andy gets to the doorway, he sees Don standing some way off, staring over at him. Doyle and the others come over to join Andy.
All right, kid.
The air cavalry close in on Canary Wharf. The survivors get to a razor wire-topped fence and begin to climb over it.
Jump!
With everyone safely over the fence, Doyle jumps down and runs after them. The survivors go down the steps.
He's going to the river!
The survivors run down into a tunnel under the river. Outside, the air cavalry drop the payload of Mark 77 incendiary bombs. They explode, creating a living carpet of fire which floods the streets. Flynn leaps down from his chopper as the flames cook everything on the ground to a crisp. Down below the Thames, the survivors wait anxiously. Up above, people running in the street are engulfed by flames. In the control room, General Stone and his staff watch the destruction on their monitors. Some screens go blank as cameras are destroyed by the firestorm. One of the staff takes off her headset and exchanges a look with a colleague. As Scarlet waits below the Thames, test tubes in her lab explode. A crowd of people running down a street are engulfed by flames. Hidden in a sheltered corner, the fire misses Don. In the decontamination center, the photo of Andy and Alice burns. Flames burst into Alice's room and her body is consumed by fire. One of the infected is burned alive. From the air, the flames can be seen setting off explosions all around Canary Wharf. The orange glow of the fire approaches down the tunnel, racing towards the survivors. They run, the flames closing in behind them. The flames scorch through the tunnel as the survivors run out onto the far bank. Fireball explodes out of the tunnel's exit behind the survivors. The blast throws them to the ground. In the control room, one of the general's staff walks over to him, awaiting instructions. Stone looks at him, then turns away and walks over to a chair.
Use of chemical weapons authorized. Repeat, all units,
Most of the monitors are dead, their cameras having been destroyed. One flickers feebly. Stone sits down heavily. Looking troubled, he regards a working monitor, and on it he sees a large crowd of the infected running down a street. Outside, the infected break down a barrier and run out into the city beyond. Dawn breaks over the entirely dark city. The survivors walk up a deserted street. The infected run through the streets towards St. Paul's. The survivors walk across the Millennium Bridge. The dome of St. Paul's is framed at the end of the bridge. As they walk, Tammy takes Andy's hand. Andy pulls his hand away from Tammy, and they carry on across the bridge. The dome of St. Paul's looms large ahead of them. The infected rampage through Smithfield Market. The survivors make their way down a litter-strewn Shaftesbury Avenue. Doyle helps Scarlett along. The infected run out of Smithfield Market. The survivors walk through Trafalgar Square, Big Ben in the distance behind them. Dawn and other infected cross the Millennium Bridge. Still more run into Moorgate Tube Station. They rush down the dark and motionless escalators. The five survivors, Tammy, Andy, Sam, Scarlett and Doyle, walk up to the gates of Regent's Park. Doyle pushes them open, and the others go through, Tammy and Andy helping Scarlett. Doyle shuts the gates behind them. Andy looks back at the road, which is deserted save for a solitary abandoned car. An old-fashioned funfair stands in the overgrown park. Paintings of Edward VII, William IV, and Prince Charles adorn a motionless merry-go-round. The survivors walk past a large wagon, the side of which is emblazoned with the legend, Carter's Steam Gallopers. Andy runs towards swings.
Stay close.
Tammy runs off after Andy. Sam walks towards the merry-go-round. A selection of unoccupied deck chairs lie strewn around in the long grass. Andy and Tammy sit in swing boats. They stare into the distance, lost in thought.
They left us again.
Tammy doesn't look at Andy.
Do you think Mum's still alive?
Tammy stares into the distance.
Not this time.
Disappointed, Andy looks down at his hand, which is covered in dried blood from the infected man Doyle gunned down in front of him. He looks over his shoulder at an oak tree nearby. Sam wanders over to an ice cream van and looks in through the serving hatch. Doyle mooches about on the merry-go-round. He joins Scarlett, who sits on the edge of the ride, applying a field dressing to a wounded left leg.
You look a little pale.
Blood makes me nauseous.
You never answered my question about why you left your post.
I got that boy on my sights.
They look over at Andy in the swing boat.
He's not a target anymore.
Scarlett brushes her hair back off her face. Tammy and Andy.
When we were separated, I thought I'd lost you too.
We won't get separated again. We'll stay together, whatever happens.
Whatever happens.
It's all fucked. You hear it all on the radio. It's fucked.
Scarlett eyes Doyle. She turns away as he looks over at her.
Anyway, what about you? Why the hell are you here?
Their mother had very special blood.
a natural kind of immunity to the virus. And not all genetic traits are passed on, you know, they can skip a generation or vanish altogether, but...
But they might have.
It's a possibility. So their lives are far more valuable than mine.
She stares earnestly at him.
Or yours.
Doyle nods slightly.
I got him.
Doyle!
He gets up.
Doyle!
Flint, go.
You made it. I knew you'd do it, buddy. Listen, I am coming to you right now. But keep a lookout, okay? There's confirmed sighting of infected that have escaped the firebomb.
Give me an ETA.
About 60.
Minutes?
No. Seconds.
Kids, come on!
They start moving, then stop when they see the infected coming over the brow of the hill.
Get down! Get out! Down.
They duck down in the long grass, and Doyle puts his finger to his lips. Keeping low, they begin to edge forward through the grass. Doyle cautiously sticks his head up and sees a large group of the infected about 200 yards away. Flynn is overhead.
Coming in! Jesus, Doyle, you've got people with you! Who the fuck are those people?
The survivors lie flat in the grass as the chopper swings in low above them. When it's hovering a few feet above the ground, Doyle gets up and runs towards it.
Doyle! Who the fuck are those people? I can't take them! We will just start out of the sky if I try to land
in the way! No, no, no! Don't take them to base! Take them over the channel!
Look,
you gotta get these kids out of here, Flynn!
Get the fuck in,
Doyle!
I'm not taking them!
I'm not leaving them!
Get them out!
Sam runs over and grabs hold of one of the chopper's skids. Flynn tries to shake him off.
Okay.
They're about to be out home!
Come on!
Flynn spins the chopper around violently in an attempt to shake Sam off the skid. The infected, now aware of the survivor's presence, charged down the hill towards them.
Man, we're gonna fucking die down here! Do something! You wanna fuck?
The chopper wheels round.
Come on, you fucker!
With Sam still dangling from the skid, Flynn tilts the chopper at the infected, and its rotors hack a sway through them. The survivors run away as the chopper attacks again, slicing and dicing the infected to a bloody pulp like some giant airborne hover mower. A severed arm bounces at the chopper's windshield as it gains height. The surviving infected are still in full cry after the survivors.
Don't look back! Keep going! Keep going!
As the others run on, Doyle stops and picks off two of the infected with his rifle. Sam falls off the chopper's skid. Sam hits the ground. An infected soldier with an arm missing and a gigantic chunk ripped out of his torso staggers on. The others gallop past the shredded remains of the dead in relentless pursuit of the survivors. Flynn pulls back on the joystick and the chopper gains height.
Doyle! Come in! Doyle! You need to get to safe ground! Get to the stadium! Fist those people! I'm not taking them!
As they run through the gates of the park, Andy trips and falls. Doyle guns down three infected who were chasing him.
Flynn, come in.
Flynn, goddammit, I know you can hear me.
Fuck the code red, fuck the chain of command. I'm stuck out here needing extraction, goddammit.
Better fucking be there.
Because we will be.
Hey, you okay? Yeah? I think you're tired, huh? Me too. Okay, I need you to help me, okay? Help me with your sister. You got that? Come on, gotta go, gotta go. Go, 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 go!
They run on, Doyle helping Scarlet. A large mob of the infected race out of the park behind them. As they round a corner, Doyle stops and fires off a couple of rounds, then hurries on after the others. They race on up a litter-strewn street and come to an abrupt halt as they see a huge cloud of white smoke rolling towards them.
Get back! Get back! Shit!
Gas!
Get out of the car!
they scramble into an abandoned car.
Go, go, go!
They get in and lock the doors just before the infected and the gas converge on them.
Get the vents!
They close up all the car's air vents and cover their mouths and noses with their clothes. The infected pour at the car's windscreen and windows, smearing their blood over them. A woman vomits blood down a window. As the street is enveloped in gas, the infected succumb to its toxicity and collapse beside the car. A woman hammers on the window. Then she collapses. A man keels over in the street. Scarlett tries the ignition.
It won't start!
Hey, we're gonna be fine, all right? Just keep trying, keep trying!
It won't start!
Soldiers in chemical warfare suits walk through the gas. Doyle spots the soldiers in the rearview mirror.
Come on, sir.
Put your foot in the clutch. All right. You pop the clutch when I tell you, okay? And you get them to the stadium. Okay?
He turns to Tammy and Andy.
Keep your head down.
Doyle puts his rifle down in the passenger's footwell.
I'll meet you there.
Leaving the gun, he leaps out of the car and pushes it to bump start it. The Volvo estate car begins to roll forwards. Doyle glances over his shoulder at the soldiers, armed with rifles and a flamethrower. Scarlett drops the clutch.
Go! Go!
As the car starts and pulls away, one of the soldiers blasts Doyle with a flamethrower, turning him into a human torch. Andy and Tammy watch out of the back window as Doyle falls to his knees, engulfed in flames. Doyle collapses as the fire consumes him. The flames are reflected in the mask of the flamethrower operator, who regards his victim dispassionately. The Volvo dries out of the gas cloud. Inside, Tammy and Andy regard each other in shock. Scarlett looks back at them. The Volvo speeds up the empty street and makes to turn left. Seeing the street ahead is full of gas, Scarlett carries straight on instead. More gas looms up ahead. Scarlett hits the accelerator hard and takes a sharp right turn. The car powers on down a gas-free street. The car emerges into Parliament Square and skirts the gas, which drifts across it. As the car powers on away from the House of Commons up Whitehall towards the Cenotaph, an attack chopper hoves into view overhead. Bullets rip up the road behind the car. Another line of bullets kick up the tarmac beside the car. Scarlett makes a hard left turn, passing a stall selling I Love London tat. It speeds on into an underground station and bounces down a flight of stairs. Up ahead is another flight of stairs leading to the outside.
Shit.
Scarlett drives the car past the staircase and pulls up. She takes off her seatbelt.
Okay, let's go.
Scarlett takes Doyle's rifle from the car. Tammy, Scarlett and Andy walk through the dark, litter-strewn underground station.
Going through here, guys.
They pass the idle turnstiles. A carpet of discarded tickets litters the floor beneath their feet. Andy looks at an overturned pushchair. They arrive at the top of the escalators.
Just hold on to the rails.
They walk down the stairs between the escalators.
Careful, guys.
Andy glances anxiously over his shoulder.
Okay. Okay, I can see. Keep going down.
Scarlet uses the night vision scope on the rifle to find the way through the inky darkness.
Okay. Just keep walking straight, guys. Holding against the wall. You're doing really well. You're doing great. Okay, get back, get back! Get the wall! Okay. Good. Just stay close. Slightly to the right, Andy. It's okay. I know, I can see. It's okay. I've got the night sight on. You're doing great. Just hold the rail. Nice and slow down the stairs, okay? Stop! 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 Right now! Okay, Tammy, to your left. Good. Okay. Good girl. Just straight down. Nice and slow. Slower. Stop! Stop, honey! Okay! Okay, all right? Grab and hold the other railing, okay? Go to your right.
Scarlet, come see it!
Okay, go to your right. Go to your right. All right, and try and skip. Just put your leg far out in front of you, okay? Good girl, hold on to the rail. Careful!
Tammy and Andy fall over some corpses. The ground is littered with the desiccated remains of the dead. Scarlet looks around with a night sight.
Tammy! Where are you?
Scarlet!
Tammy, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm right here.
I'm not standing.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm right here.
I'm not standing.
Okay. There you go. It's slowly working. It's okay.
I'm not standing.
Okay. We'll find Andy.
One of the infected attacks Scarlet, hitting her in the face with the rifle.
Scarlet!
The weapon is used to club her to death. Tammy advances on hands and knees through the darkness. Tammy looks around, and her eye is drawn to the greenish glow of the now discarded rifle's night sight. She picks the gun up and looks around the platform with the night sight. She sees Scarlet lying beside a discarded suitcase, her face now a bloody pulp.
Scarlet.
She zooms in on Scarlet's lifeless features. Elsewhere in the station, Andy is on a gloomy platform. A train is in the station. As he walks cautiously up the platform, he hears a noise. Seeing no one, he moves on. One of the infected runs onto the platform behind him, and Andy turns round. As he stares at the shambolic, homicidal figure, he realizes it's his father, Don. Don runs at Andy, knocks him to the floor, bloody drool dripping from his mouth. As he bends over Andy, Tammy appears. Having bitten Andy, Don looks up, and seeing Tammy gets a flashback of Alice. His face contorted into a hateful mask, he comes at Tammy, and she shoots him in the shoulder. He falls, but recovers himself. As he advances again, Tammy puts another couple of bullets in him, and he falls dead on the ground. She drops the rifle, and her face crumples. A tear falls from her eye. She walks past the body of her father. She goes over to Andy, who's starting to pick himself up.
We stay together. Whatever happens.
No!
He runs off.
Andy, no!
He runs away onto the track.
Andy! Andy! No! No! Andy!
Tammy jumps down onto the track and runs up the line after Andy, who trips and falls. Tammy walks over to her brother, who slowly sits up. She crouches beside him and peers at him in the gloom.
Am I one of them?
She looks closely at him and examines his left eye. She sees the capillaries engorge with blood, indicating the presence of the infection. But Andy remains calm.
No.
She studies his blood-splashed face a bit more.
No, you're not.
She puts her arm around him and gently helps him to his feet. They set off towards the daylight shining at the end of the tunnel. Sometime later, they approach Wembley Stadium, its distinctive arch reaching up high into the air above the stadium itself. Tammy and Andy walk slowly out of the players' tunnel into the stadium with its myriad rows of orange plastic seats. The roof of the stadium is open to the air. Parked in the middle of the playing field is Flint's helicopter. Tammy and Andy walk slowly across the pitch towards the chopper. When he sees them, Flynn steps out of the chopper and aims an assault rifle at them.
Stop!
They do so.
Where's Doyle?
Tammy stands protectively in front of Andy.
Where's Doyle?
Tammy shakes her head. Her blue eyes stare out of her begrimed face at Flynn.
It's just us.
Flynn keeps the gun trained on them. Andy timidly pokes his head out from behind Tammy's back. Flynn slowly lowers his weapon and beckons to the children with a gloved hand.
Come on. Get in. Come on!
Andy and Tammy walk over and join Flynn. They get into the chopper and Flynn puts on his headphones, flicks a few switches and starts the helicopter's engines. He pulls back on the joystick and the chopper rises into the air. It flies up out of the hole in the stadium's roof and flies on over London. Tammy looks out of the window at the empty city below. They cross the Thames and fly over the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral. In the streets, nothing is moving. The chopper flies on over the smouldering remains of Canary Wharf. The chopper flies out over the countryside with its patchwork quilt of fields. It makes its way to the coast and passes over the white cliffs of Dover. Tammy looks down at the English Channel shimmering in the sunlight below, then reaches out and strokes Andy's hair as he looks down at the approaching French coast. A caption, 28 days later. The now abandoned helicopter's radio crackles into life.
Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Is anybody there? Potard, Mr. Barton. We need your help. Répondez. Répondez.
A large crowd of infecteds run up out of the Paris metro and race through the streets towards the Eiffel Tower. The screen goes black. Directed by Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. Screenplay by Rowan Joffe. Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, Ian Lavin, Jesus Olmo. Produced by Enrique Lopez-Lavin, Andrew McDonald and Alan Reich. Executive producers Danny Boyle and Alex Garland. Director of Photography, Enrique Chediak. Production designer Mark Tildesley. Film editor Chris Gill. Co-producer Bernard Ballou. Music by John Murphy. Costume designer Jane Petrie. Casting by Shaheen Baig. Fox Atomic and DNA Films present in association with the UK Film Council a Figment, Sojicini and Cohn Films production. 28 weeks later. Robert Carlyle. Rose Byrne. Jeremy Renner. Harold Perrineau. Catherine McCormick. Macintosh Muggleton. Imogen Poots. And Idris Elba. Made in association with Dune Entertainment, LLC. Visual effects supervisor, Sean Matheson. Visual effects producer, Tim Field. Supervising sound editor, Glenn Freemantle. Production manager, Kate Penlington. First assistant director, Toby Ford. Second assistant director, Simon Morris. Supervising location manager, Jonah Coombs. Cast in order of appearance. Alice Catherine McCormick. Don Robert Carlyle. Sally Amanda Walker. Jacob Shahid Ahmed. Jeff Garfield Morgan. Karen Emily Beecham. Boyan Cottage Beans Balawi. Doyle Jeremy Renner. Flynn Harold Perrineau. Scarlett Rose Byrne. Tammy Imogen Poots. Andy Macintosh Muggleton. DLR Soldier, Megan Popiel. Stone, Idris Elba. Military Officer, Stuart Alexander. Senior Medical Officer, Philip Bullcock. Rooftop Sniper, Chris Wyman. Soldier, Tristan Tate. Medical Officer, William Meredith. Bunker Soldier, Matt Reeves. Bunker Major, Thomas Garvey. Medical Center Lobby Soldier, Tom Burdell. Car Park Soldier, Andrew Byron. Car Park Civilians, Sarah Finnegan, Roderick Culver, Maeve Ryan, Ed Coleman, Karen Meager, Amanda Lawrence, Simon Delaney, Drew Rees-Williams, Sam Raymond Waring, Depot Man Kish Sharma, Depot Woman Jane Thorne. Sound effects editors, Tom Sayers, Niv Adiri, Mark Heslop, Ross Adams. Music editor, Andrew Wilkinson. Dialogue editor, Lee Herrick. Foley editor, Hugo Adams. Assistant sound editor, Danny Freemantle. Re-recording mixers, Brendan Nicholson, Ian Tapp, Andrew Caller. Sound mix technicians, James Doyle, Andy Hagen. Foley artist, Nicholas Becker. Foley recordist, Didier Lesage. Foley assistant, Asia Zipper. ADR mixer, Paul Carr. Assistant ADR mixers, Ian Jimerson, Mark Appleby, Rob Edwards. Post-production sound, Sound 24. Foley recorded at Digital Factory. ADR recorded at Goldcrest Post-Production Facilities. Re-recorded at Pinewood Studios, London, England. Music recorded and mixed by Gustavo Bornar and Tyler Barton. Additional engineering and programming, Brent Arrowood. Orchestrated by Stephen Coleman. Conducted by Yuri Kubik. Music preparation, Pavel Chiboch. Music contractor, Zdena Pelikanova. Recorded at CNSO Prague, Czech Republic. Mixed at Igloo Studios, Burbank. Chaos Studios, LA. Archive bloodshots courtesy of BBC Motion Gallery and Oxford Scientific, OSF. The producers wish to thank the following for their assistance. The people and communities of London. Film London and film officers at the London boroughs of Camden, Greenwich, Hackney, Islington, Lambeth, Newham, Southwark, Tower Hamlets, Westminster and the City of London Corporation, the GLA, the LDA, Royal Parks, London Underground, Docklands Light Railway. Broadgate Estates, Lazard Manhattan Loft Corporation, Cable and Wireless, Unit Base, Space 2, Paul Sparks of the Civil Aviation Authority, Hughes Safety Showers Limited. Made on location in London, and at Mills Studios. The events, characters and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead, or to events or firms, is purely coincidental. Copyright Nuco Films Limited and 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea and Spain. Copyright Nuco Films Limited, TCF Hungary Films Right Exploitation Limited Liability Company and 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea and Spain. Nuco Films Limited is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. This picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Made with the support of the UK Film Council, UK Film Council lottery funded.